Okay, we are back with our special series, the 2024 Recruitment Extravaganza. So my name is Nikki Fiacco, and you have landed on the AmeriCorps Connections podcast, where we catch up with AmeriCorps alums and we reflect on their journey and their service term. We learn the twists and the turns and the ups and the downs of their service year. And the service year pushes them to their limits, and then they find out they actually end up exactly where they need to be. So I'm Nikki Fiacco, and I'm a proud AmeriCorps alum. I served in Volunteer Maryland in 2012, and I learned my skill of connection and networking. And I really wanted to keep that going after my service year and after I kind of rose through the ranks of national service, of being a program director and then an executive director of a commission in Maryland and a commission in South Carolina. I think it's really important for us to continue to connect as alumni, find out what we're up to, what kind of resources can we share collectively, and how can we continue to get things done. We're 1.3 million alumni strong. I may only be having a conversation with a fraction of a fraction of a fraction, but you know what? The effort's worth it. So again, we are announcing our special series called the 2024 Recruitment Extravaganza. If you may not know, but from now, which this recording is happening in April, until about August, this is the height of the recruitment season for AmeriCorps programs. So we want to spread the word far and wide. And I'm hoping to highlight at least 15 programs between now, April 2024, to July 1st, 2024. But please know that there are thousands of opportunities across the country. And if you're interested in going in looking into those, you can go to my.americorps.gov and create a profile and search for opportunities near where you're located, or you can also go across the country if you want to for those opportunities. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, then you know that AmeriCorps programs can move you from one side of the country to another. So if you want to explore those new communities and have new experiences, AmeriCorps can help you do that. And don't forget, if you like this episode, or you think this episode or an AmeriCorps experience might benefit someone else, please share it and like it and make a comment in the YouTube comments or wherever you can make comments. This posted on Instagram sometimes when I get around to it. You can comment there. That would be amazing. Yeah, and also reach out to our guests. Today we have Amanda Hart. She's from Metropolitan Family Services, and we're going to hear all about Amanda's experience in during her service year and then her service opportunities that are with Metropolitan, which is her service site of origin. So that's cool. We keep it all in the family here. Before I get started, of course, I want to say thank you for day to man Dan Medevier, Time or Money Productions. He provided me hosting and production consulting when I started this podcast. He's an NCCC alum, and he was the first person to step out. He hosts this podcast. I would never, ever, ever be able to get this across the podcast land without his help. I don't even know what an RSS feed is. So thank you, Dan. And then recently, Do Good, Be Good, Sharon Tewksbury Bloom has supported this podcast on the back end with editing and marketing the podcast. So, folks, we have like fans. We're super excited. I have like a kind of a team. It's very cool. So, I'm very excited. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Sharon and her All AmeriCorps alum team and Dan Medevier for all of your help. So, with no further ado, I want to introduce Amanda to the AmeriCorps Connections podcast. Thank you so much for being here. You were the second one that submitted the which like seconds, it was like seconds, submitted the special form for AmeriCorps alum who are recruiting AmeriCorps members during this for the 24-25 service year. So let's hear about your how you found AmeriCorps or how AmeriCorps found you and what your service experiences and was, and then we'll talk about the exciting opportunities that you have. So, Amanda, take it away.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on here. I love it. Like all the thank yous you gave out at the start is just so case in point of like there is an AmeriCorps alumni network out there, and we do help each other when we know who's out and where. And yeah, I've been feeling that love for about 13 years now since I started in my service year. It was right out of college. had no idea what I was doing, did not know what AmeriCorps was. Craigslist found me.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I was applying to part-time tutoring positions in an after-school setting. So I had did not study education in college. I was actually an anthropology major, and through that path had some internships at the local art museum and gallery spaces and places where I got to interact with kids in a very extracurricular setting, and came away from that just feeling like I really enjoyed that. I have no idea what that would look like in a job form. And yeah, just remember Googling around and going on Craigslist, which was very big at that time in 2010. Different these days.
You had to really vet those opportunities on
You
Craigslist.
really did. There were definitely some
Yes.
questionable places I showed up for interviews of like, this is not what I was
What? Yeah.
expecting. But this was a wonderful organization, Metropolitan Family Service. I had been tutoring in a couple different after-school programs at that time. Just yeah, since I had graduated and moved to Portland, was living in my aunt's spare bedroom. Thank you, Aunt Martha.
Yay, Aunt Martha.
Yay, Aunt Martha. And found this after-school program called Schools Uniting Neighborhoods that our organization MFS hosts around the city in different schools. And so, yeah, I thought I went into this interview thinking I was interviewing for some part-time after-school tutoring, got a little bit more information about
Yep.
AmeriCorps in that interview, and was their last placement for that. It was actually the first year MFS was hosting an AmeriCorps team at the organization. So that was a really cool kind of serendipitous moment too. If I didn't know what AmeriCorps was when I signed up, and I didn't know I was joining this amazing team of individuals, and that many of those people have become my lifelong friends and references and, you know, aunties to my baby, and just like
Oh.
has really been become this huge part of my identity professionally and personally. And I had no idea what it even
Yeah,
was when I
I mean,
signed up.
same. Like I've spoken about my experience, not in depth, but the first experience, like the whole, I was applying to a local park and I had an interview with the park ranger or the park superintendent. And he's like, "You're great, but you need to go to Baltimore and have this interview." And I was like, "Fine, whatever, I don't care." And so I went, and they were like, "Okay, do all these things, jump through these hoops." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever." And then they were like, "Go to this training in a different county." And I'm like, "What is happening?" And then I showed up and there was a bunch of other people. I'm like, "More people that got this job? Like, what is going on?" And then after the first couple of days, I'm like, I think I joined a did I join like a religion? What did I do? Like, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, okay, wait, no, what is this? And then I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Especially when they gave me the sweater, the sweatshirt with the A on it. I was like, all right, I'm getting gear. I
I'm
do
part of
this.
something.
Yeah, I'm part of
Free
something.
clothes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, and you probably know, like after your service year, like, wow, okay. Like I am part of something way bigger than I thought. And it just continues to pay off.
For sure. Yeah. And I was reflecting back on this and like getting ready for this interview and just thinking about how much I had thought for so long, even today now, of like how I need to plan my path and know what I'm doing next and think about like how I'm going to apply everything I've learned to this next job or career path or all these things. And really AmeriCorps, I should have practice what I preach or what I tell our incoming members is like, trust the process of you will, through your experiences, through the people you meet, through the communities you're working within and serving, and through showing up day to day in AmeriCorps, you become who you are and what you do. And it really is, it's not as easy and simple as that. And there are elements of it of like, yeah, I really just trust that process of,
Absolutely.
which is what I love with AmeriCorps. It's so hands-on and yeah, you figure it out.
And I, and it, you know, it's for a set amount of time. So, you know, I think that that's one of the exciting things, one of the nice things about it, because it's not like I'm taking a job and, you know, I have to give them a good impression. And what if I don't like the people? And what if, you know, blah, blah, blah. But AmeriCorps, a lot of times you have your service site and then you have cohort, or you have somebody else that you can go back to and you can work things out with. You have that natural kind of safety net of working out some of the softer skills that sometimes are difficult when you're either starting, you know, your professional career for young 20 year olds. But like for me, I served when I was like 30 something years old, 32. I don't know how old I was. And for me, I was really gaining professional development skills, right? Like I had jobs before I knew how to do, like I did sales. So I was like, see that pencil that you're holding? You want to buy that four times, you know? And I was able to do that, right? But some of the other nuances and some of the other sort of things, I really, really learned those through my service year. It was like the best professional development that I had, hands down, for any programs that I've been through. So totally agree. And so what was your, what kind of service did you do during your service year?
Yeah, so I believe my technical title was Community Involvement Specialist, which was broad enough to encompass whatever it was at the school. Each of us were placed within a public school within that our programs, after school programs. So I served in an elementary school. Did a lot of after school classes, building life skills and service learning. Youth leadership was a focus at that time. But for me, that meant I had like studied mural arts in college and was very into like exploring identity through making murals and, you know, beautifying our school community. So we had a mural club and a school garden club and student government, and it just the theme allowed for, you know, building positive identity, allowed us to really take what that meant to us and also to the students we worked with, and explore that in various ways. We did a school-based food pantry program, which a lot of these programs too, like our school gardens and food pantries, even the after-school program itself, a lot of these things we were piloting as AmeriCorps members, which is another really awesome aspect of AmeriCorps, is, you know, you're oftentimes the one innovating these new social services or supports that you're building the infrastructure for what are now, you know, 13 years later, still running and expanding. And so, yeah, so we did a lot of after school classes, a lot of student supports, resources from within the school setting, and events and fundraising, and really whatever I'd show up to the school and my person who ran the after school program would say, do you want to try this out? Or hey, a bunch of parents are asking for this. Do you want to bring them together? And yeah, after a year of doing that, is like, I think I'm just now getting what I can do here and in this role. And so did a second year at that same community school site. And yeah.
That's so exciting. And I think that happens a lot of the times for a couple of the interviews that I've done are VISTA members. A lot of them are actually VISTA members. And, you know, VISTA is a 3-year experience. So you've got the implementation, then you've got kind of the programmatic part of it where you're actually doing the thing. And then you have like kind of the wrap up and sustainability. And a lot of times those implementers are like, well, I've like started all of this. Like, I don't want to just let it go. I like want to see it happen. And so they generally do a second year. And in some cases, 3 to 5 years, it's crazy. But yeah, I can see how that happens. So you did a service year and you got hooked, and then you did another service year. And how was your second service year kind of, how was it different than your first service year?
It really, I think, cemented like what I really liked and wanted to do, and what I knew I could do, but maybe wasn't it for me. Gave me a lot more opportunity to explore things that maybe weren't written into the service description or weren't initially like in my service load. But again, through like the people I was meeting, the relationships I was building, the trust and that foundation I had laid that first year, I really got to take off with a lot of like self-run projects and classes and programs and kind of career searches too that I definitely I couldn't have even thought to consider that first year. So that yeah was a huge benefit too. And honestly, like since I had the same supervisor 2 years in a row, towards the end of that second year, she knew me so well. It was like, yeah, you can go to that job interview later in the day, and just have a lot more flexibility to my actual service day and schedule that you put in so much time in that first year to kind of build that trust.
Yeah, and I mean, a service year can really be like a year-long interview, right? And I
Oh,
mean,
for
in my
sure.
case, like I was serving as a volunteer coordinator in one regional park, and towards the end of my service year, I rewrote my AmeriCorps position description, brought it to the park director, and said, I did this for one regional park. I would like it to do this for the entire department. And I had a couple allies that I had built through my networking and connecting, and they were like, we believe that she can do this. We believe that this is important for the department. And I was hired like on the spot. So it really can be this stepping stone into something. It's not always the opera that's not always the case, especially in schools, because there's limited resources, limited positions. But if you're creative and you do like nurture those relationships during your service year, sometimes, and finding those allies, I'm telling you, finding those allies that have a little bit of like, they might not be the ones that are making the decisions, but they do have influence within the organization is really, really important, and showing your value and just showing up. I was talking to somebody the other day about how like I would just always show up. Like I would always just be at an event or whatever. And it'd be like, Nikki's here again. So that like people would start to think, oh, well, Nikki could do this because Nikki's always here. And so then I started like bringing value and showing that, yeah, like I can figure it out. I remember my very first volunteer not job, but like assignment when I was hired by Rec and Parks. And that was to find an interpreter, a sign language interpreter for a training that they were having for coaches. And I'm like, wow, you pay people thousands of dollars to do this. Like, who's going to do it for free? But then I remembered I was doing substitute teaching at a local high school, and I substituted in a American Sign Language class. So I reached out to the teacher. I'm like, do they have to do service learning? He put me in contact with a community college where they do have to do service learning, which included volunteerism. They put me in touch with a student. That student showed up and she did American Sign Language for 2.5 hours. And that's when everybody was like, okay, Nikki can make this happen. I'm like, wait, hold on. Everything.
Knocking down your door. Yeah. Which
Yeah,
does
exactly.
happen with AmeriCorps. We do have to
Yes,
warn
totally. Like if you
leaders in.
show like you can do it, they're like, oh, well, you can figure it out. So what you're speaking to makes so much sense. And then so during your service year, is there anything else that you want to reflect on or just highlight or point out?
I think really just that the relationships that I built that year with not just like the members on my team and who I was working with, but in the community itself of like the students I saw every day and their families and some of the teachers that were looking out for me as much as, I thought I was there to support them. They were giving me that same kind of support, and it opened my eyes to a whole other kind of network that I think, especially coming into AmeriCorps pretty much right after college, like up to that point, my peers had always been age related. And, I always saw like my network as who is in my grade, who is in my class, who is, more or less my age. And that was just such an eye opener for me of like teachers who were, 50 plus and students who were 12 and their families and everywhere in between. I came away with such a strong sense of my people who are like of different ages and races and from different countries and, backgrounds, political backgrounds, all of it, that I had not considered up to that point just how, like you were saying, like showing up gives you a space to build relationships that defy a lot of what we, how we
Yes.
kind of treat things in our country and think that, you know, society looks like. Really showing up within a community and just being there and being present and engaged, you build the most meaningful relationships. And then that, you know, led me on my path to everything I've done since, professionally and just personally with staying in Portland and staying in that community.
I think that's such an important aspect, and I would agree with all of what you said, because you know, the projects that and the programs that I was involved with, like I was bringing special needs students into, or first it's called something else now, sorry. Anyways, I would bring them into programs with the Naval Academy, and we would have baseball games, and like, you know, and there were just communities that I never engaged with on a regular basis, but through my service and through my work in community engagement, you know, beyond AmeriCorps, I was exposed, you know, we did a project at a school where we did a mural, speaking of murals, and this guy who painted the murals of the actors on The Soprano was a teacher at this local high school. And so he was one that like spearheaded this project and brought together. And I was like, how am I involved with this guy who's been like on Hollywood, you know? And so the people that you connect with on all spectrums, it's just,
Definitely.
it's fascinating. And it really, it just opens up so many opportunities and opens up your heart and your perspective. So I love that reflection for sure. So after your service year, you had this 2 year long interview. What did you do after that?
Directly after, I did a whole lot of odd jobs. Went back to retail, painted some houses. This is the thing I tell our AmeriCorps members every year as we're approaching that end of service year. Like, if only we had the crystal ball to line things up as perfectly as they should be. Like, you finish AmeriCorps, you go into your dream job, boom, boom, boom. But there is, about a 6 to 8 month window of me figuring it out, financially, to be honest, before I found the next opening at MFS, the organization I work with. They had a new after school program site they were opening at a elementary school they had just started working with. And I applied for that, knowing like that was the program I had been involved for the last 2 years, loved it. It was really hard to leave that school community I had been serving in. That was like a big life lesson too, of in my mind that those were my people, that was my community. So to try to do that similar work in a totally different school and school community, I had to be kind of coached and mentored through that with our director of community schools. Was a really great mentor to me. And he's like, this is how it works. You know, in order to keep the work moving forward, to continue to show up and help people, you need to learn how to say goodbye or close that door to help in a different space. And so that was the program that opened up, and interviewed for that. And have been doing jobs at MFS ever since, to now this moment where I'm managing our own AmeriCorps team, and it's like my full circle moment.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's so fun. I remember when I was at Volunteer Maryland, I really enjoyed having that direct impact on the AmeriCorps members, and like, you know, I did a lot of their training, so I could figure out, like, curate, like, what are some of the things that they need to know now during their service year? Like, you know, at the beginning of the service year, it's all like how to communicate with your service site and internal communications. And then we turn to like How do you start networking and how do you start building that up? How do you start looking for your next opportunity? You know, how do you make sure that like you're still focusing on your project and thinking about what's coming next? It's so fun. It's like, I think I need to end up in career services because it's like so, it's so much fun. I love it. I love it. I love it. So let's go into, I think this is a great point, a great time to go into what is the AmeriCorps program that you are recruiting for right now? What's the timeline? What are the benefits? What type of service does the AmeriCorps member do and all of the good stuff? So this is your recruitment time extravaganza.
Yeah. Like this is the big test of why can I remember? Yeah. So back when I started at MFS at the first AmeriCorps team, there were, I think, about 10 to 15 of us. We were all serving in that community schools realm. So the after school programs, serving students and families from within the school setting. We still have that program now, you know, almost 14 years later. That's definitely the biggest part of our AmeriCorps team. But since then, because MFS, we're a wraparound social service organization that serves members or like community residents and members of our community across the lifespan. So oftentimes that's in the school setting, but we have 0 to 5 year olds that we're serving in early childhood development programs and their families to get them ready for that school experience. We have our school-based food pantry program, economic empowerment, so financial coaching, free tax prep services, savings, match savings programs, and older adult services, transportation services, keeping them that members of the older adult community connected and getting them the resources they need. So having an agency that serves in all those areas, AmeriCorps team has been like, we can help in those programs too. And so it's grown now to 20 positions that serve across all those different MFS program areas.
So it's really like, it's kind of like choose your own adventure. If you're interested in supporting older individuals or younger students, or you're interested in financial literacy and taxes, like that's really cool. 20 spots.
20 spots, yeah. And that's also great because then we have 20 members to connect with each other. And a big thing we highlight with our team is that they're often the ones initiating that cross program collaboration and being the ones to have those ideas of, you know, because they're meeting every month with each other and getting together as an AmeriCorps team. They have those aha moments before our staff do of like, oh, you have this food pantry running and, you know, your after school program. We have, you know, older adults that are being driven out to that area to the grocery store. Why don't we bring them to the food pantry as well? Or do an intergenerational pen pal program or financial education classes for 5-year-olds and their parents that they can learn together. It's the possibilities have been endless. It's so cool to see that every year the ideas and like initiatives that come out of our AmeriCorps team are often then embedded into the programs themselves and really has just become like a core part of the MFS program identity is our AmeriCorps members who then often, like you were saying, create positions for themselves or get hired into those staff roles after they serve. And so our organization is more than 20% of our full-time staff are former AmeriCorps members, which is, I love being able to say, because then it's like, it's really true. If you put in the time, you build those connections, you show up and lay that foundation, people want to keep you on and keep you in that role or in that work. So we're hiring across all those program areas. And this last year and for the next few years, we've partnered with it's the Portland Clean Energy Fund, which is this huge amount of funding spread across the city to build in more of this climate resiliency, climate awareness and understanding and resources to communities who have been left out of those conversations and have been hardest hit by climate change and crises over the years. And so our members are really at the forefront of leading a lot of those conversations with their students, families, community members on what resources do you need? What does climate awareness and resilience look like for your community? And so that's been kind of this new element to all of our positions, and additional funding that we can give AmeriCorps members a higher living allowance for that added service that they're providing to communities, which is always nice.
That's amazing. So it sounds like if somebody was to serve with Metropolitan Family Services in Portland, Oregon, they would have their basic, like, this is what you're going to do as a service member. Like, these are the roles and responsibilities, but you also have the ability to be creative, and you want them to do this cross collaboration on bringing together the different streams of who you serve within the organization. That's really exciting, because oftentimes you go into a job and it's like, this is what you're going to do, and this is your responsibility, this is their responsibility, and you guys don't like don't try to make things too exciting.
Yeah, don't muddy the waters.
Yeah, don't muddy the waters, right? Like, stay in your lane is a lot of times that people always say. So that's exciting that you actually have you want AmeriCorps members to have that creativity. And it sounds like such a great organization that has really evolved, what it sounds like, based around what the community that you serve needs, right? You kind of like, there's programs that just do the same thing over and over and over, and that's great if it works. But if your community is looking and asking for something different or needs something more, it's important to innovate. And you did mention the living allowance. I don't know if you're able to share what that is, but if you want to share some of the key benefits of the program, what are the other things that AmeriCorps members get during your program?
Yeah, so a higher living allowance is a big one. And it took years of advocating for that too. I think that's another key element to AmeriCorps, is like, you really need that collective voice to be able to say, like, this is needed for what we want is any person who wants to serve in our programs to have that ability, you know, without finances being an issue. So we now, our full-time members receive just under $26,000 for their service year. It's divided up evenly throughout the years. It's the living allowance. And it is taxed, because the living allowance is taxed.
Of course.
Even though it's not income. But so that's something that we say, you know, we offer this about $26,000 living allowance. We know that doesn't cover the costs of living in Portland, Oregon, especially. And we're very aware of that. And we're continuing to advocate for that locally, you know, within our organization, within Portland, and the spaces we're seated at, and then collectively at the national level. I know that's been a big topic of conversation. But we do have that. We're actually trying out this additional stipend next year for some of our positions that are going to really lean into that community engagement piece of around climate resiliency, of having those conversations, those focus groups, interviews, studies with community members who want to be part of those conversations more intentionally. They will be reimbursed as well, but we're also providing an additional $1,000 stipend to those members who are kind of leading that force of this climate resilience work. And we're testing out a member transition assistance plan
as well.
That it's, again, like, based on the feedback, when applicants tell us, yeah, I'd love to accept this position, but I have to move across the country.
Yeah.
And that costs money and pay, you know, deposit on our where I'm renting, and all of these real upfront costs to serve. We're offering new members, new and returning members, $1,000 transition assistance fund when they start their service. Part of their living allowance will be given to them upfront so they can cover those initial costs to move. We have free public transit through a grant with the city of Portland. And I think really just, those connections to our programs themselves, free financial coaching, free access to our food pantries. A lot of the services we're giving out to our communities and offering, we really encourage our members to take advantage of too while they're in service and outside of it, because it's there for the community.
Yeah, and I think the point that you made, we look at the hard benefits, like how much am I getting paid and what am I being, how am I being supported? But we also have to think about the network that comes along with an AmeriCorps service year. And I think that programs are being so innovative now, and service commissions are being so innovative and looking for those partnerships to make it easier for everybody to be able to serve. And if you can make it work, I mean, you, like I said at the beginning, there's 1.3 million alumni who have gone through this program. And that's part of the reason for that is a reason for this podcast. There is somebody out there that after your service year, they're going to give you a chance because you were an AmeriCorps member and you completed a service year. And then we all understand how difficult that can be for others. But it sounds like particularly the MFS community is really working to make this equitable for and accessible for everybody who's interested in serving. What's the timeline for your recruitment? What does that look like? And what are there any like professional development opportunities for members throughout the service year?
Oh yes, yeah. That's I think our members have a love, not a hate relationship, but we get together so often for those professional development trainings and learning opportunities that it's a great way to keep building our team. And but it takes them away from their site and their service community, which you really do get to build a lot of relationships in. So people are wanting to get back to their sites. But yeah, we opened up recruitment at the start of April. So we like just kicked it off for next year's team that starts in early September. So we'll be interviewing, accepting applications throughout the summer through about mid-August. And what we tell people who are interested or want to apply, that the sooner you know you're ready to apply, the better. What if you can submit your application, because it's just on a rolling basis. So we start with 20 positions, and just as people interview, we place them with what we feel is the right fit for them. And and so we start off with a lot more as the summer progresses, that those numbers get fewer. But we also, we'll do everything in our power to find a good fit for each member on our team. So we have some
That's
tricks up
great.
our sleeves with it too. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I was involved in recruitment and placement of members, it was one of my favorite things. It was like matchmaking. It was like, ooh, what are we gonna
Exactly.
do?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, and what was so fun is like a lot of times the AmeriCorps member, it's maybe probably different with you, but for Volunteer Maryland, we would send them to like two or three interviews, and then we would have the member pick which one they liked best, right? And
Exactly. Yeah.
so we just felt like that was a really good way to, you know, retention is a big thing with AmeriCorps. And so you don't want to place somebody in a site where they're like, I don't know if I really want this. So it's fun, that little matchmaking piece. So just to recap what you just said, if you're interested in this opportunity with a Metropolitan Family Services, you want to get your application in now so that it can get vetted and then you can get interviewed and the service year starts in August. Is that what you said?
It starts early September, but yeah,
September.
we do the onboarding in August, and then in September we kick it off with 2 weeks of member orientation. And so that's really where our team gets to know each other really well. Our AmeriCorps staff gets to know the team members. And we do a lot of those initial trainings around a big focus for our service in schools is social emotional learning and understanding, what that means when we say building positive identity and sense of community, and focusing on that trauma-informed care, setting healthy boundaries within the workplace, like workplace
Yes.
wellness itself, just really gearing everyone up for what does this look like to commit to a year of service and across our communities. And Yeah, we always take the feedback from last year's team into planning those trainings, and yeah, it's really exciting to see what comes out of those 2 weeks, and yeah.
It sounds like an amazing opportunity. If you're listening to this and you're interested in reaching out to Amanda, Amanda, what's the best way for folks to reach out and learn more or apply or pass along the opportunity to somebody that they think this might benefit?
Totally. So a couple different ways. I think if you just look at our website, mfspdx.org, that'll take you to, there's an AmeriCorps page on there that gives you all the information you could ever need about our AmeriCorps positions and timeline and all of that application process. You're also welcome to email me at AmeriCorps@mfs.email. Which does not sound like a real email address, but
It does
it is.
not. So
So,
it's AmeriCorps at MFS.
at MFS
Okay. Oh,
dot
I get you. That's
email.
like a general mailbox. It's not Amanda. Okay.
Yeah, you
Gotcha.
could email me directly, Amanda H at MFS dot email. If you email AmeriCorps, it goes to me and our program coordinator,
Okay.
Brittany, who's lovely and also a two-time AmeriCorps member. So,
That's great. Yeah, we'll have all
yeah.
those links if you didn't get that.
Great.
We'll make sure they're all in the show notes. And if you found out about this opportunity through AmeriCorps Connections, please, please, please let them know that the reason you're reaching out is because this interview was so compelling and Amanda and Nikki had great synergy and the conversation was amazing. And
I
I
thought
really
so.
want that opportunity for myself. But no, all joking aside, it sounds like a fabulous organization and a great opportunity. I love hearing about the wraparound service for AmeriCorps members. I was interviewed by, I don't know, interviewed earlier this week, and they asked me, should everybody be required to do a service year? And I mean, surprisingly, as much as a fan I am of national service, I was like, some people have really crappy experiences with national service, and I would hate to require people to do it because then what are we doing? Like, you know what I mean? The experience kind of captures us. And if it doesn't capture us, then it's not meant for us at that time or that moment. And, service opportunities like this are really shaped by the organizations that you're with. But it
Totally.
really sounds like MFS is a fabulous organization that's takes care of their members and that their members come first. So Amanda, I'm so glad that you were the second person to fill out that the ex recruitment extravaganza form.
Yeah.
And is there anything else that you want the audience to know about your service opportunity, about national service in general, about you, about anything?
I think, like you were saying, that, service doesn't always have to be there right now, just because we're having this conversation today on April, whatever, on Earth Day, actually,
Yes, it is.
2024, you don't have to apply tomorrow or the next month or this next year, even that it's, and we're happy to have that conversation with you at any time along your consideration journey or application journey. And that really, like we've seen with students who've then come into our AmeriCorps roles or community members or people we've talked to about AmeriCorps and then apply years and years later. That's really what we're here for, is just to keep building that community. And so thank you also for hosting this and yeah, facilitating that conversation. It's awesome.
Sure. No, this has been great. I'm really excited to see. Hopefully the audience is an audience of action. I mean, we are AmeriCorps alums and we know how to get things done. So let's get things done. Let's spread the word. Let's get recruitment out there and let's get folks in positions to serve across the country in 2024 to 2025. Amanda, thank you so much for your time. And again, the program's
Great.
Metropolitan Family Services in Portland, Oregon. If you're interested, please reach out in all the ways that Amanda said. And thank you. And we will be back with another program highlight during this special series. And if you're liking this, please let me know. Give me some feedback. Let me know if this is something that we should continue. So take care and see you next time. Thanks.
Thanks.